And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We're going to have a special edition today. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the hoax of the Navy SEAL Team 6 on May the 1st, 2011, supposedly killing the already dead Osama bin Laden. And I've been thinking about the lies that have changed America and the world, especially in our lifetimes, but really going back, well, let's just say the last century. And I began to make a list, and I finally sort of honed it together, of the 25 top lies of the last century. I suppose I should call it the 25 most successful lies of the last century. And these are the lies that are spread by the Illuminati and the Jewish elite, and they've gained great capital, and I mean money, and political power, societal influence through these 25 lies. Now, my list was much bigger than that. I actually came up with around 200 lies. They lie constantly, you know. It takes a high-level computer with a powerful chip just to keep track of all the lies that, whether it's the Republicans or Democrats or over in England, you know, the Tories or the Labor Party tell us. Constantly these lies. But I thought I would just sort of extract the top 25 in my opinion. Now you may have other lies that you think are more important than these, but from my perspective, these are the top 25. I thought I'd just have a nice little chat with you today talking about these 25 lies. And when you think about it, just get the perspective here. How much history has changed because people were deceived, lied to. And how intricate some of these lies. And, you know, there's an old saying, you know it, that it goes this way. Oh, what a web we weave when once we practice to deceive. And some of these lies have spun subsidiary lies or derivative lies, whichever word you want to use. And, you know, if you start lying, you have to keep lying to support the first lie. And, you know, they say of Richard Nixon and Watergate, which is not on my list, by the way, but they say the real problem was not that he did it or did anything really that evil or that bad or that criminal, but that he covered it up. That was the worst thing, the cover up. And most of these lies have all spawned cover up after cover up, and things have been getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and the ball of yarn keeps growing and growing and growing and growing till it seems like it's taken over the whole world. But these things have influenced our lives. My life has changed. These lies have meant that we've lost trillions of dollars. You personally are in debt now. They say every person in America, man, woman, and child, now owes 1.25, that's one and a quarter, million dollars. I was thinking about that the other day. I don't have that in my bank account. Do you? if I owe one and a quarter of $1 million, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to get it from me. How about you, dear friends? That's what each American owes from the so-called national debt. We'll never get that paid back. Okay. And it keeps growing. The debt keeps growing and growing and growing. Pretty soon each of us will owe 2 million, 3 million, 5 million. Already our backs are breaking from this national debt. But let's talk about these 25 lies. And you might be surprised. Maybe you never heard of some of these things. You thought, well, I believe in that. I think at one time we used to believe things. I remember as a young man, I would watch Walter Cronkite and David Brinkley and all of them on TV. And when Walter Cronkite said, and that's the way it is, November the 23rd, 1958. Well, we all thought, well, yeah, that's the way it is. That's the news. That's true. Walter Cronkite, the most respected man in America, said it. Our president said it at a news conference. Who could doubt it? You mean you don't believe what Walter said? How dare you? How dare you cast aspersions on our great president? That's sort of the way people, you know, I thought about it. When I began this ministry about a quarter of a century ago, I was speaking at a church, and that was before people had ever really even heard the term politically incorrect. And I began to talk about being politically incorrect and such, and how the press, the media, you know, NBC, ABC, and so forth, CBS, were all politically correct and were telling us lies. And, you know, after church, a bunch of people came up to me, and they just thought, Tex, you're the biggest fibber in the world. How can you say such things? I watch the evening news every day, and I've never heard this. I said, well, you know, those people are very liberal. Liberal? I didn't know that. They're liberals on TV? Well, now everybody knows about politically incorrect and so forth. Everybody knows that almost all of the media are liberals, and even the ones who act like conservatives really are not. Those who act like traditional Americans, they're a bunch of liars too. Fox News and so forth. Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity. Oh, give me a break, friends. Okay. Let's talk about these 25 lies. And you know, you don't have to agree with me. I'd love to hear from you. You may say, Tex, that's the truth. I believe it. Okay. I do suggest you study a little bit more. You know, I study about 16 hours a day. And I think I study 24. I must be dreaming about this. I dream about these things all night long. I wake up in the morning, wonder what did you dream about last night? Oh, well, you know, concentration camps and this and that. And she says, boy, you need a vacation. I think I do. I haven't been on a vacation, you know, real one in years. But I enjoy my work. It's like a vacation. Every day coming here, seeing the bright faces here at Power of Prophecy Ministries. Yeah, that's my vacation. I love the folks here. And I love getting my mail and my emails. You know, sometimes I even get the orders. I look at the names on the return addresses and the order forms. And I don't really memorize them necessarily, but, you know, I just feel a kinship to Gladys and Eli and John and Kimberly and Tim from all over America. I feel like a kinship, a friendship. You, my friends, are my family. You really are. I pray that even after I go, this ministry will continue to thrive and survive. And perhaps with your help, it will. Okay, let's go, because 25 lies. We've only got an hour today, or less than that now, about 50 minutes. And so I don't know how we're going to get to all of them, but we're going to do it one way or another. Okay, lie number one. You might want to write these down, because you may want to haggle with me and argue. And you know, you may want to drive all the way down here to Austin, Texas with your bricks to throw at the ministry offices because I said these things. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do if you do that. Well, we're just going to invite you in for a cup of coffee. Sit down with us. Yeah, we're pretty. Can I tell you a real secret, folks? With all the books and videos I've done, people think Tex Mars is just so mean. I'm so cruel. I'm so hard. But you can ask the people who work here at the ministry. I have to tell you. I shouldn't tell you this. I should keep that persona, Jerry. Jerry's my broadcast engineer. You know, maybe that's good. People are afraid of Tex Mars. They're fearful of Tex Mars. Wanda, you know what she told me yesterday? We were having dinner, and she said, you know what, sweetheart, you're just a softy. She called me a softy. She said, if people out there knew what a softy you were, you know, They may change their attitude of you. And I just laughed because it's true. You know, I'm pretty much a softy. Folks, please don't tell that. Don't tell our enemies I'm a softy. I got them going right now. They think I'm just a mean man that might bulldoze right over them. But I'm sort of a softy, you know. You know, I cry over things. Not too long ago, I ran over an armadillo. We have these strange prehistoric creatures. And I ran over, you know, hit it. It ran right across from me. They're not that fast, but I was a little country road. I wouldn't go on very fast. And he runs right in front of my wheel. Poor little critter. You know, it cracked his, and he was there and his little legs were flailing. I felt so sorry. It was his fault. Don't get me wrong. It was the armadillo's fault. But I almost cried. I kept just thinking about that poor little armadillo that I hit with my car. See, if I had my way, I'd probably have automobile avoidance training for all armadillos. You're like a nanny state. We've got to protect these armadillos. We're going to have, the government will have a program, automobile avoidance training for all armadillos. I'd probably be in charge of that program to try to save as many as I could. Sort of like a seatbelt program, for, I never did like seatbelts. My granddaughter finally convinced me, "Papa, you've got to wear your seatbelt." And I just laugh at her, "And Papa, you've got to," and finally she wore it, Okay, I'll wear my seatbelt. And I got to where it's just normal now, just click it on and everything. Is that the way the police state works? After a while you think that all this is just normal? It's what you must do to please Big Brother, but it's okay. We all learn to love Big Brother. That must be what, really, I'm serious. Okay, lie number one. 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Well, what a laugher that is. Now, folks, no one approves of a Holocaust. And most people are not very happy, certainly, about what the Nazis did. Of course, when we talk about the Holocaust, we have to ask which Holocaust, because the greatest was the Jewish Holocaust of Christians and Gentiles in the Soviet Union. According to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, 66 million perished. Then we had a Holocaust in Red China when Mao Zedong, with Jewish support, became the dictator, the communist dictator of that Chinese empire, Red China. They say that anywhere from 50 to 100 million people perished in the concentration camps and so forth in Red China. So it would not be remarkable that 6 million of any race would die in a Holocaust. But the Jews want to be special. They don't care about the 66 million Gentiles or the 50 to 100 million Red Chinese. No, they weren't even Red Chinese. That's the problem. That's why they killed them. They were just people wanting to be Chinese, and they murdered them. They only care about themselves. Harry Truman said that, The Jews care nothing about the underdog. They don't care about the Lithuanians or the Russians or anybody else, only themselves. But did 6 million Jews really die in the Holocaust? Evidently not. How many died? The experts, the true experts, and not the propaganda Jewish experts or the Zionist Christians, but true academics now say probably 300,000 to 500,000 died of all races in Nazi camps. And most of those died of disease, malnutrition. Okay? There were no ovens that killed people. There were no gas chambers. They didn't make lampshades out of tattooed skin. They didn't make soap out of human flesh. Just baloney. That's all baloney. Now, I talk about this in my book, The Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. There was a recent book that came out by a woman named Misha De Fonseca. Misha De Fonseca. She's living in the United States. She claimed to be, at one time, a 6-year-old Jewish girl who escaped from her Nazi tormentors. Her family was taken away to concentration camp, but she escaped out the back door of their home, and she ran into the woods where she stayed the entire war, hiding out from the Germans, who were after her. Boy, they were after her. She wrote a whole book. Her book is entitled Surviving with Wolves. The only way she survived is years by herself out in the woods, hiding from the Nazis. Misha says that a pack of wolves found her and began to take care of her as a little 6-year-old girl. They fed her. She went around with a pack, hunting with the pack. At one time, a Nazi soldier almost captured her, but with the help of the wolves, they killed the soldier. Seems remarkable. And any expert on wolves would tell you they had never heard of a case. What a miracle. A 6-year-old girl taken care of by wolves who took care of her and sheltered and protected her from the mean old Nazis. Well, Misha De Fonseca, and this is true of all of these supposed, these victims that have written books, these so-called survivors of the Holocaust. Not all of them, but most of them have written just garbage. Was Misha De Fonseca's book Surviving with Wolves garbage? Of course. By the way, it won all kind of awards. It's a Holocaust story. Everybody believed it. They were going to make a big movie out of it. Misha De Fonseca made over $30 million in royalties. $30 million in royalties for a book. But then some enterprising people said, you know, this doesn't sound right. This sounds pretty hokey. They did some study. Turned out that Misha, now 75 years old and living in America, had to admit that her book was pure baloney, not true. In fact, Miss De Fonseca is not even a Jew. Her family is not even Jewish. She made up the whole thing. They were never at Auschwitz. She said they perished at Auschwitz. My family, woo-hoo-hoo. They never went to Auschwitz. Her father was a Belgian from Belgium and not a Jew. In fact, turns out he was a collaborator with the Nazis. He was pro-Nazi. Oh, my goodness gracious. This book purports to be a memoir of her Holocaust years. $30 million she made from it. Did you know that the publisher refused to take it out of print when it was found out that she was a fake? She and her lawyer both admit it now that, yes, I made up the story. But the publisher says, but you know, things like that are so touching and poignant. We think the book is worthwhile just to keep on the market. I think it's called We Want to Keep Making Money from Hoaxing People. Now, I can go on and on with stories like Misha De Fonseca's. Anne Frank. Remember she wrote her diary and they made all these movies, poor Anne Frank? Well, turns out that at least part of her diary, experts say, was written with a ballpoint pen. But the ballpoint pen was not invented before 1945. Can't write your diary with a ballpoint pen when none exist. These are the kind of lies that we have. But the Jews have gained great, great amounts of money, reparations. The government of Germany has paid out billions and billions. Not one victim of Soviet communism has got one red cent, but the Jews have gotten billions of dollars in reparations, mostly for things that never happened. Okay, number two, the second greatest lie. By the way, I didn't put these in like 1 through 25. It's just the top 25. Number two, President John F. Kennedy died, assassinated in 1963 at the hands of a lone assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, this is the biggest laugher of all time. Anyone who studied that, and you can get the book, by the way, New World Order Assassins by Victor Thorne, or the book Everything They Ever Taught Me Was a Lie by Pat Shannon. We offer both those books. And, of course, President John F. Kennedy was killed by a combination of the CIA, the FBI, working with the Israeli Mossad. LBJ was in on the plot, so was J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI. In my book, yes, I talk about many of these lies in my book. Turns out that John F. Kennedy had threatened Israel. Israel, you will have to give up your atomic bombs that you've stolen. David Ben-Gurion, the prime minister, said, no, we can't do that. So they all decided to work together to kill John F. Kennedy. He was going to replace J. Edgar Hoover. He was going to totally demolish the CIA because he saw it as a wicked, evil spy organization that was worthless. And all of them worked together then to put him under the ground. You know, Jack Ruby, turns out, was a member of the Jewish Mafia. Oh, so much I could tell you. His real name was Jacob Rubinstein. He was a Jewish Mafia hitman. You need to find out about this, folks, and my book will tell you all about it. Hey, number three, the third lie. 19 Arab terrorists hijacked U.S. aircraft and killed over 3,000 people on 9/11. If you believe that, dear friends, please put yourself in the same category as the 5-year-old that believes in the tooth fairy. Enough said on that. But you might want to get our book, and it's by Victor Thorne as well, about the truth about 9/11, the evil of 9/11, and who really did it. Boy, the Israeli Mossad, they were there again. And I talk about that in my book, The Israeli Link to 9/11. That's in my book, Conspiracy of the Six Point Star, my newest book. Number four, President Barack Hussein Obama was born in Honolulu, USA. Now, I know he came up with his birth certificate, but now we know all the experts, the Photoshop, the computer experts, the people that know how to create false documents say that his birth certificate is a fake. It's a fake. It was created by some not even too very clever people that put it all together. Sort of a composite. It's a counterfeit. And there's no doubt then that President Barack Obama was not born in the USA, is not qualified under the Constitution to be president of our country. Number five, the of the top 25 lies, President William Jefferson Clinton did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Well, we know that's a lie. He did have sex. But his Jewish rabbi that supported Bill Clinton says, well, he really didn't have sex because according to the Jewish Talmud, oral sex is not really sex. Huh? Say what? That's what Clinton meant. Yeah, we had oral sex, but that really wasn't sex. It was something else. Well, okay. If you say so, Mr. Clinton, because obviously you're one of America's greatest presidents, and we know you're a man of integrity and wouldn't lie. And Jerry, my feet are sinking deeper into quicksand as I say such nonsense as that. Number six, what a lie this one is. Only a few Roman Catholic priests are homosexuals, and fewer still are pedophiles. There's a recent book by a Catholic researcher, still a member of the Catholic Church. One of the best and the most authoritative books on this subject. He studied it. He gives numbers. He believes that anywhere from 60 to 80% of Catholic priests today are homosexuals. And at least 40 to 50% of those are pedophiles. They like little boys. But now, Pope Benedict, the new pope, says that, you know, when a lot of these crimes were committed back in the 1940s, 1950s, and 60s, you know, it wasn't such a big deal back then. I mean, the culture was different. And sex between grown men and little boys, that wasn't as bad as it seems now. Hey, Mr. Pontiff, let me clue you in. I was raised back in that era, and, well, I have to tell you that I, if a Roman Catholic priest had molested me as a little boy, I think today I would want to take a big knife and cut off the sucker's head. Now, I'm sorry, it's a mean thing. I guess I'm not a softie after all. But I feel great sorrow and pity for the victims of these priests. And you're trying to say it wasn't as bad back then? Listen, my friend, 2,000 years ago, it was just as evil as it is today. You're a sick man, Mr. Pope. And you're helping the liars. They're liars. By the way, the name of that book, if I can remember right, that I told you about that researched this subject, I think it was Farewell, Good Men, or something like that. Basically, the guy says that all the Catholic seminaries now are run, almost all of them are run by homosexuals. And that if you're chosen to become a priest, you know, all these mamas out there, Catholic mamas, they want their boys to be priests. Oh, it would do my heart so good if you would become a Catholic priest. So, you know, they're nice boys. They're heterosexual, everything. Clean cut. So they join the priesthood. They send them then to Catholic seminary to be trained by the priest who all rape them and try to turn them into homosexuals. The dormitories at those seminaries where they're sent are nothing but breeding grounds. And they're brought in, everybody from the headmaster on down, and sexually abused. And if they don't go along with it, well, you know, you're just not qualified to be a priest. Folks, listen to me. Go visit your Catholic church in your little town or your city. 9 times out of 10, there'll be a flaming faggot. Now, I know Roman Catholics out there saying, it can't be true. Tex Mars, you can't be right. But I am. Okay, number 7. President Harry S. Truman in 1945 ordered the U.S. Air Force to use atomic bombs, actually it was U.S. Army Air Force, to use atomic bombs to destroy the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki because he knew that if he did not, the nation of Japan would never surrender. I need blinking lights and a big gong. Gong, gong, lie, gong, gong, lie, lie, because it is a lie. In fact, the Japanese had already offered to surrender. They were ready to surrender. But President Harry Truman and his Jewish handlers, including Bernard Baruch, the Manhattan financier, and Henry Morgenthau, who had been Secretary of the Treasury under FDR, they did not want the war to end. You see, the atomic bomb had just been readied, and what they wanted, the Jews, because they control Washington, D.C. All of the communist Jewish spies were in the Truman administration, holdovers from the FDR administration. And they wanted us to destroy these Japanese cities with atomic bombs so it would be a demonstration so they could tell the whole world, you better become a member of the United Nations or else we could destroy you with our atomic bombs. And you better do what the superpower of the world, the United States, wants you to do from now on. In other words, the Jews, by being in charge of the whole world through their proxy, President Truman and the United States, they were controlling the whole world, and they wanted to show that we Jews own everything, and we will destroy you as a people and nation. And we've got the power to do it. Look what we did in Japan. So one of the problems in the Truman administration, historians acknowledge, true historians now, is that Truman was really worried, and so were his Jewish backers. They actually were concerned, they were worried that Japan, the surrender offered by Japan might get known by the people of America. What if the people of the United States find out that the Japanese want to surrender? We can't let them know. We've got to get this bomb and get it on those B-29 aircraft and blow up those cities before the people of the world find out that the Japanese are willing to surrender. Or it'll be too late. Human sacrifice, Holocaust. That's part of the Jewish Talmud. There will be a Holocaust of Gentiles. They wanted to kill those people. A blood sacrifice to the God of the Jews, to Malkut, also known as Moloch. He was worshipped as a star god, according to the prophet Amos in the Old Testament, according to the first Christian martyr Stephen. And by the way, you'll read all about this horrible, monstrous murders of President Harry Truman in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I might want to mention that I remember watching, when I was a young man, President Harry Truman interviewed on television. And there he was saying, I didn't want to do it. We didn't really want to do it, but we had to. If we had to send American fighting men into the Japanese main islands, we would have lost 500,000 of our people. They would have fought fanatically right to the end, just like they did at Iwo Jima, Okinawa, and so forth. So we just had to do it. He was a liar. I believe Harry Truman, a 33rd degree Mason, is in hell today because he was a mass murderer. And the Japanese were ready to surrender, but we would not accept it. Okay, we've got a lot more top lies to discuss with you when we return in just a minute. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Today, the subject is the 25 top lies, or at least the most successful lies of the last century. Stay with us right here on Power of Prophecy. We'll return with more incredible truths about these amazing lies. Hello again, folks. Tex Mars here of Power of Prophecy. My new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Sort of controversial, isn't it? And a lot of people are reading it. And it's been on some bestseller list, Amazon.com and so forth. And there are people that are trying to keep it off the bookshelves. It's just too hot to handle, I suppose. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and the Rothschilds. Now, and of course, a big hunk of the book is all about the hidden secrets of Judaism. Things that, well, your neighborhood rabbi is not likely to tell you, let me say that much. I think you'll enjoy this book. It's a historical book. There's sections in here about from Karl Marx and Martin Luther, even the chess master, the world chess master, Bobby Fischer, what he had to say about the Jews, what Martin Luther had to say. Why did Billy Graham tell President Nixon, if the Jewish stranglehold is not broken, our country is going down the drain? Billy Graham said that. And he talked about the Satan worshipers of the synagogue of Satan, who are the Jews. Wow. Billy Graham said that to President Nixon, who was president of the United States at the time. There's so much in this book. Harry Truman tells you a lot about Harry Truman that you probably don't know, including the $2 million bribe that he took to recognize the state of Israel. Names the Jewish fixer who gave him the $2 million bribe, cash delivered in suitcases to President Truman. So much in this book that you need. Spiro Agnew, you know, suddenly it came out, you know, that he supposedly had evaded taxes by taking a bribe back when he was a local politician in the state of Maryland in Baltimore. And bingo, he was gone as the vice president. Were the Jews behind that? Were they behind Richard Nixon's departure, resignation? How about JFK's assassination? All this is covered in this, I call it the mega book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Here's how to get your copy. $25, add $5 shipping and handling. Now, the reason why is three or four times as big as a regular book, okay? Cost us a lot to print the book, to keep it, to manage it, and so forth. It's just a heavy, big book. It's an encyclopedic book. But I'll tell you, you'll love the book. I promise you. It's about amazing things. And it's not available anywhere else, this knowledge. I can promise you that, too. Now, phone us toll-free to order the book. $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. Phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you can go on our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, and order the book with your charge card. You can also send us a check or money order or cash, $30. That'll take care of all the postage and shipping and handling. $30 total, $25 for the book, $5 shipping and handling. Send that to Power of Prophecy or just to text Mars at 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, if you're worried about sending money through the mail, well, you might want to put it inside a piece of paper so the postman can't see it by looking at the sun and see, oh, there's cash in there. I think I'll open this up and take it. That's, as far as I know, hasn't been done, but it's possible. So you might want to conceal the cash inside. Of course, we know it'll get to us because we've been here at 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 for, well, I don't know, Jerry, probably, is it going on 18 or 20 years now? We've been at this location, yeah. They haven't driven us out yet. They hadn't burned the place down. It's amazing, isn't it? And we've been attacked by wild cats. You know, a lot of deer have attacked us out here. It's a wild place. Yeah, we had a little wild cat. We took it in, made it part of the family, in fact. Prissy, that's our little ministry cat. She provides a very valuable service. She meows at us periodically, and she walks around, prances, and she sort of runs the place, the cat does. And everybody gives her treats. This is the most spoiled cat in the whole world because the whole ministry staff love this cat. She gets more attention than I'd ever get, you know? She's just a lovely little cat. And I found her outside, you know, she was just shivering. It was cold, it was freezing. I tried to pick her up. She was about as big as a teapot, smaller than that, really. And naturally, she tried to hiss at me and scratch at me because she'd never seen a human being before when I found her. She'd been abandoned or I don't know what happened. Her mother had kittens. It was the dead of winter. We took her in, gave her milk and all that, and she stayed. Now she owns the place. It's absolutely terrible, folks. We are controlled by a cat here in this ministry. Okay. All right. Let's return to our regular program. I like cats. You know, I really do. I really like cats. I think I like dogs better. I'm going to hear from the cat lovers. They're going to criticize me for this. But, you know, cats, they cotton with nobody. They don't even do what you say. You know, you tell them things, they don't do it. I like dogs. They're more loyal. They're more faithful. Now, you cat lovers out there, I know you're going to write to me and you're going to tell me different and your cat's different. And it could be. I haven't seen every cat. I'm just talking about our cat who sleeps right here in my office. She stays on. She likes my office best. I feel flattered. She's found some box of books and she just gets on it and just lays in that box all day long. We had to put a little blankie on there for her, you know, so it'd be soft. Okay, we're talking about the 25 top lies of the last century. I'm Tex Mars and you're listening to Power of Prophecy. And of course, we're heard on Worldwide Christian Radio. That's one of the most powerful of shortwave radios, heard around the world, in fact. Boy, we receive email and letters, phone calls from everywhere, and I love to receive them. And, of course, we're heard on the American Voice Network and on our powerofprophecy.com website through streaming audio 24 hours a day. So you can't sleep, you got insomnia, wake up and hear Tex Mars. You've already heard him once, well, listen again. A lot of people write to me and say, I listen to your program two or three times a week, and I get different things from it every time I listen. Some more secrets. We got to get to all these. U.S. number 8, U.S. Senator Joseph McCarthy was wrong. In fact, there were no communists in the U.S. and State Department. That's a lie. That's what it's claimed. You know, and still, these charges are leveled at people of McCarthyism. You're a McCarthyite. You know, you're out there to ruin people's reputations. Hey, folks, the fact is that since the fall of the Soviet Union, we have been able to get into a lot of the KGB archives. And then we have what was called the Verona Papers about spies. And the former Soviet Union, now Russia, has given us a list of people who actually were spies. And guess what? Virtually everyone that U.S. Senator Joseph McCarthy even suspected of being a communist spy was indeed a communist spy. And I talk about some of these spies, Harry Hopkins, Dexter White, and others that were in the Franklin Roosevelt and the Harry Truman administrations. They were just flat-out communist Soviet spies. And remember that guy that was at the McCarthy hearing, Senator Joseph McCarthy from Wisconsin, and he said, Senator, have you no decency? Just because the senator asked him, are you a member of the Communist Party? Have you no sense of decency? Well, the fact is, the people who were pulled before the McCarthy committee, they were the ones that had no sense of decency. They were for Stalin and Lenin and the purging and the murder of 66 million human beings. I say thank God for Joseph McCarthy, Senator. Number 9. What a lie this was. The North Vietnamese naval forces of Ho Chi Minh in 1964 committed an act of war by firing on American ships in the Bay of Tonkin incident. That's what LBJ said. They have fired on our Navy ship, you know, in the Gulf of Tonkin, or the Bay of Tonkin, off of North Vietnam in international waters. Now we have the right to start bombing the dickens out of North Vietnam because they attacked our ships first. It never happened. The Navy admirals, the Navy officers, they say it never happened. It was made up. You know, just like 9/11 was an inside job, this was not even a job at all. But by the way, at that time, probably no more than a couple of thousand of Americans had died in the Vietnam War. LBJ used this fake incident, this false flag incident, as a pretext, as an excuse to send in 500,000 eventually American troops into Vietnam and to kill probably 2 or 3 million Vietnamese people with our bombing and so forth. And guess what? America lost 50,000 soldiers in that war. 50,000 for a lie. You see how important these lies are, my friends? They're people who lost fathers, brothers, sons because of the filthy, dirty lies of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Number 10, we get back to today's time. The Great Recession of 2008, and still continues today, was not caused by bankers and Wall Street speculators, but by normal American, average, typical American citizens who just spent too much on their mortgages. What a bunch of baloney that lie is. In fact, Wall Street bankers lied on all the mortgage applications and faked it and said it was AAA credit, and they created a leverage situation so that about every time you borrowed $1 in a mortgage, they claimed that $70, the home was worth $70 for every dollar that you listed on your mortgage application. So they multiplied the multiplier effect, the money in the economy. So if you got $100,000, if you went out and bought with a mortgage a $100,000 home, it was $700,000, $7 million, according to them, in their little leveraging derivatives, credit swaps situation. And that's why everything came tumbling down, because of the Jewish Wall Street bankers. And the fact is, the Federal Reserve under Alan Greenspan, this Jewish monster, allowed it all. George W. Bush was sitting there approving everything that was going on. His administration, not him. George W. Bush, he barely even knows if the earth is turning. And I'm not sure he even thinks that happens. Okay, number 11. Listen to this lie. The era of peak oil means that America's known oil reserves have been steadily declining for decades. Lie. Folks, there is no such thing as peak oil. You see, they say by a certain year, and they keep changing the year. Did you know there was a book written in 1910 that said by 1925, all the oil will have been used up in reserves in the whole world? There'll be no more oil. We're using it too fast. By 1925, there won't be any more oil. I remember when I was a young man in the 1950s, I was reading an article in a oil refinery journal. And it said, scientists have discovered that there's not enough oil to last for more than two more decades. By the 1970s, there will be no oil left in the entire world. It will all be pumped out from the earth. Let's see, 1970, 2011, almost 40 years ago. It never happened. These guys, these aren't real scientists. They're liars. They're environmentalists sometimes. They're oil company paid shills. Don't believe this trash. We will never run out of oil. We will. I wish you could read my lips, but you can't. The world will never run out of oil. Did you know it's replacing the oil we take? My brother was an executive for Sun Oil, Sunoco. He said, you know, Tex, the oil wells that we thought had run out of the oil that we had drilled and brought up all the oil out of, we capped. In other words, they closed them up. They cemented them over and everything. He says 15 or 20 years we go back, and all the oil's there again. It just percolates up from the earth back into the oil area. And so we're going back in these old places where we thought we'd all taken out of the oil and there would never be anything there again, and the oil's back. Some people, some scientists are now believing, true scientists I'm talking about, in something called the abiotic oil system. That is, the under the earth, it keeps producing oil all the time. Now, the crazy scientists, the wackos, talk about fossil fuels. You see, dinosaurs died millions of years ago, and their bodies decomposed in the earth. And after millions of years, the decomposed bodies of dinosaurs turned into oil. And that's the oil we're using, and that's why they use the term fossil fuels. And we're running out. We're running out of dinosaurs. Dead dinosaurs. Of course, they can't quite explain why we drill in the bottom of the oceans and we find all this oil in the Gulf of Mexico and other places. I suppose dinosaurs walked on the bottom of the ocean floors. Of course, again, this is total nonsense. Folks, we'll never run out of oil. We have so much in the United States, we don't even have to use foreign oil. And the Bakken Oil Foundation in the Gulf of Mexico, off the coast, the shale, the sand areas of Colorado, North Texas, and Pennsylvania, even natural gas. Do you know they've already found enough reserves of natural gas we could replace all the oil for 100 years? We'll never run out of oil, but they'll tell you that. You know why? They want to keep raising the prices. We're running out of oil and the demand is so great. We've got to keep raising the price. We've just got to. We're so sorry. Oh yeah, they're really sorry. More ways than one. Okay, number 12. The era of peak oil lie is matched by the global warming fiction. Global warming. You know that is such a nutty lie that the scientists are beginning to be embarrassed themselves by bringing it out. They're all environmentalist shills. And all the politicians love this because they're going to start this cap and trade tax thing. And they're going to start taxing more people. And more people will have to pay big, big taxes for the fossil fuels that are used. And you'll have to reduce your carbon imprint or footprint. Oh, my goodness gracious. They won't, pretty soon they probably won't allow you to use combustion engines at all. The automobile, the motorcycle, the pumps that bring up water out of the earth for the farmers. Why those combustion engines, they're causing too much carbon dioxide, and that's heating the earth, and we have global warming. We can't even let you use your lawnmowers anymore, your weed whackers. I mean, it's causing the earth to warm up, and we're going to be scorched. I mean, everybody's going to get cancer from the sun rays. It's a horrible thing, but we're all going to die. Chicken little, chicken littles. And they're all silly. These things are so silly, and it's not true. Did you know for the last 12 years, science will show you, and you can look this up for yourself, the earth has been cooling for 12 years now. Finally, a couple of years ago, the environmental scientists, they couldn't explain why, while they were saying the earth is warming, it was actually cooling. So they said, well, you know, the reason it's cooling is because of global warming. They've actually said this. Well, you know, it's cooling now, but that's caused by global warming. Pretty soon it'll switch courses again and go back to the warming. But right now the warming is causing the cooling. I remember some years ago after we had these huge hurricanes, you know, Katrina, Rita, did horrible damage throughout the South, especially the New Orleans area and the Florida and Texas areas. Of course, along the Mississippi coast, Louisiana and so forth. And after they had those horrible earthquakes 5 or 6 years ago, hurricanes in the Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico, the environmental wackos, boy, they use the media for good effect. You know what they said? The reason we're having all of these hurricanes is because of global warming. And I remember this environmental scientist getting up, and Al Gore, oh yeah, he's a genius, isn't he? And he said it too. He said, we're having these hurricanes doing such damage because of global warming. Global warming causes the oceans to heat up, and that brings in more hurricanes. And I remember the weather experts at the National Weather Service, and this one guy, he looked so gloomy and in despair. And he looked in the camera of CBS, and he said, I predict we will have at least 5 to 7 major hurricanes this hurricane season. Boy, everybody in America was frightened. We will have 5 to 7 major hurricanes like we never used to have in history because of global warming this very season. Would you like to know how many hurricanes we had that year after that projection of the National Weather Service? Do you know what a goose egg looks like? A big old circle, the letter O. Nada, as they say in Spanish, nothing. There was not one major hurricane that year. And you know what? The next year there wasn't. And the next year there was only a couple of mild hurricanes. And that caused the environmentalists to rush out a new theory. And here was the new theory, which I think still stands today. Because of global warming, we're not having as many hurricanes as we used to. Well, that's sort of good news, isn't it? They say, well, it seems like good news, but it's really not, because we're moving into an era of lesser hurricanes because of global warming. But later it'll reverse itself and go back to more hurricanes because of global warming. You know, friends, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. These people are out of their minds. You and I know it. Okay, Number 13, the 13th lie. Iraq's President Saddam Hussein had or was building weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, and nuclear, and this made it imperative that the United States military invade Iraq and depose Saddam before the mushroom clouds came to America. Lie, lie, lie. Won't go into that too much, but you know we never found the WMD, weapons of mass destruction, and we deposed Saddam, and we killed a million Iraqis, and we've lost several thousand American troops, men and women, and Condoleezza Rice's, the Secretary of State's prediction of the mushroom clouds never happened. And you know the way I had it figured at the time when I heard this, I said, you know, if he did have a nuclear bomb, an atomic bomb, the only way Saddam Hussein, he didn't have a real air force, he didn't have any bombers, didn't have any missiles, how was he going to get the bomb all the way to America? Well, some people said, it was those suitcase bombs. He'll put them in a suitcase. Oh, shut up. I figured he'd probably strap it to his back and swim across the oceans. That's Saddam Hussein. He was a miracle guy. He really was. Oh, yeah. Or maybe he would just fly to America in one of those mushroom clouds and drop it. I don't know. George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, they have a special place in the Isles of Hell, as far as I'm concerned, for murdering so many people and making up this great lie. Number 14, Osama bin Laden, mastermind of the 9/11 atrocities, was killed by members of a heroic Navy SEAL team in Pakistan in 2011, on May 1st. Yes, and a dwarf runs every government in the world, and a midget will be the fastest human at the next Olympics, and I could go on and on. Okay, we know that's a lie. Number 15, there was little or no voting fraud in the U.S. presidential elections of 1948, 1960, and the year 2000. Not true. 1948, President Harry Truman squeaked out the elections over New York's Governor Thomas Dewey, the Republican candidate. After the Jews had given him a $2 million bribe, so they wanted him to be the president, even though Dewey was also a Zionist. And I think there was a lot of fraud in that election. 1960, any good historian of politics knows that Richard Nixon got more votes than John F. Kennedy. But John F. Kennedy knew the mob, and the Chicago mob fixed the election. One state, it came down to one state, the voting populace of the state of Illinois and Chicago. And guess who was there running that state and that city? The Bud Daley organization. And by the way, Daley, the son or grandson, I can't remember which now, is the chief of staff for Barack Obama, the White House chief of staff. And of course, Rahm Emanuel is now the mayor of Chicago. It could happen again. The year 2000, well, Jeb Bush was governor of Florida. It all came down to the state of Florida, and George W. Bush became president with the help of the Supreme Court of the United States. Okay, number 16, America attacked and occupied the nation of Afghanistan in an attempt to hunt down and capture Osama bin Laden. Not true. And in fact, they claim Osama bin Laden is dead now. Okay, so why don't we come home? We have over 100,000 troops in Afghanistan. Now we can come home. Mission accomplished. Osama's dead. If that's why we went to Afghanistan, why don't we just come on home now? Don't count on it. That's not why we went over there. That was a lie. Number 17. Since the war on terror began in 2001, no one has been abducted and incarcerated in American gulags located across the globe. And no one has been tortured at these gulag camps, either by the CIA or the American military interrogators. Because, as George W. Bush said, we do not torture suspects. No, of course not. And, of course, George W. Bush would himself volunteer for waterboarding, because that's not torture at all. I mean, Dick Cheney, he would volunteer for it, wouldn't he? Just to show people. It's just a little bitty thing. It's nothing. Not torture. Number 18. the millions of illegal aliens who have entered the United States from Mexico are a boon to the U.S. economy. Do I have to tell you that's a lie? That's a lie. Number 19, living conditions. The living conditions and treatment of the many Africans brought to the United States as slaves during the 18th and 19th centuries was far inferior and more cruel than the conditions that they faced back in Africa. They suffered so much by becoming slaves and being brought to America. Folks, the fact is, there were slaves already in Africa. The blacks, tribes were selling each other or just abducting human beings and making them slaves. Not only that, even as a slave, the black man and woman had living conditions and treatment better than the African tribalist. In a way, it was a blessing to be a slave in America. Now, that's the horrible truth. And I am not for slavery and would not have favored slavery back then. I think slavery is cruel. But the black Africans had it worse than the American black slaves. And that's just true. Number 20, the Jews do not now, nor have Jews ever, dominated and controlled Hollywood and the entertainment industry and the mass media. The Jews don't own everything, but actually they do. So that's a lie also. And you can read about the truth of that in my book, Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. Number 21, Americans have today and have always enjoyed absolute freedom of speech, unfettered by restrictions. Friends, you can't say everything you want to. If you're politically incorrect, Big Brother may investigate you. And in fact, if you're a Holocaust denier, you could be in a lot of trouble. Number 22, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, was a complete surprise to the Franklin Roosevelt administration and to America's political and military leaders. We now know that the Roosevelt administration and our military leaders at the Pentagon knew the attack was coming at Pearl Harbor and covered it up because they wanted to be in a war. The Jews wanted us to be in a war against Germany, and Germany and Japan had a pact. Number 23, immediately after Germany surrendered to the United States and Allied forces in 1945, the Americans who had won the war over Germany extended a hand of friendship to the German people and generously helped them rebuild their ravaged economy. That is a lie. In fact, the Jews, Morgenthau and others, convinced Truman it was be a good thing to punish the Germans. And millions died in camps. We starved them to death, the people of Germany. We took away their food. That's right. We purposely, intentionally killed as many as 5 to 7 million Germans after World War II. We weren't generous at all, believe me. Number 24. Am I right, Jerry? Number 24. President Woodrow Wilson and Congress promptly declared war on Germany in 1917, that is World War I, because the German Navy had attacked a passenger liner, the Lusitania. In fact, we now know from documents that are declassified, the Lusitania was carrying military armaments to Britain. It was not a passenger liner as we have claimed all these years. They purposely wanted the Germans, by the way, to attack it, so that America could get involved in the war on behalf of Jews. Number 25. The Federal Reserve Board is a U.S. government institution. Why? It's not at all. It belongs to the bankers. They own it, not the people of America. Well, those are the 25 top lies, the most notorious, most infamous lies of the last century. And wouldn't our lives be different if our leaders simply told the truth? This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Been great being with you today. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.